At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
I want to be like this so I can use the back of the chair.
Yeah, that looks very natural.
Does it?
Nope.
Oh.
This podcast is brought to you in part by Dragon Shield. Use code PLAYTOWIN5 at the affiliate link down below for 5% off to help support the show.
Welcome to the Play to Win podcast, where we talk about winning in CEDH. I'm Cam.
And I'm Dylan. You nailed it. This week, we're talking about politics in CEDH. I feel like this is a topic that gets brought up a lot, especially recently, talking about tournament CEDH, TEDH, and how important politics are to winning the game. We're going to give our thoughts, some of our opinions, some of our feelings on this, on the topic.
Yeah, it's a very hot climate out there right now.
Everyone's
talking about it. Yeah, so we really want to take this in the direction of what you should look out for when you're playing games of CEDH, whether you're in a tournament or you're playing in a setting of people that, you know each other, and like right. Politics is something that you guys are actively doing. Like, we just want to point out things that we've been on the receiving end for.
Yeah, what to look out for, because we've lost to tactics such as these. Whether you like it or not, politics is a part of CEDH. It's part of the game. It's what a four-player game is going to be. This is just how it is. Like, talking with your opponents is going to be the best way that you can win games a lot of the times. Now, there's tons of different ways that you can do this, but we're going to just, like you said, kind of go over some of the tactics and maybe put a name to some of the things so you know what to look out
for. You can say, hey, you're doing this tactic to me, right, so I'm not going to fall for it.
And now, obviously, of course, people will now listen to this podcast, and now all of these topics will be out of date because people will know, everyone knows about these topics,
or
right?
They'll still be able to use them because, you know, sometimes something happens to your brain in the middle of a game, and if you're thinking about too many different things, like these can still work too.
And but now for us, politicking. How do you feel about politicking personally, your skills at it?
Yeah. Oh, I don't think I'm very good at it, but I think I'm starting to get a little bit better as I'm trying to incorporate it into my games a little bit more, because it is something that is not really what I'm used to in CEDH. Like, part of what originally drew me to CEDH is that people weren't making dumb deals that, like, put so many weird advantage situations into place. Like, it was more about, like, no, we're trying to win, we're trying to be optimal, and a lot of times it just kind of felt like you were a piece of a code where, like, the game has to go a certain way, and, like, we can still, like, try not to kingmake and stuff, and, like, but we're also trying not to make, like, weird deals that you would see in casual that happen. We're not making, like, spite plays or threatening to king make so that people can do things in order to, you know, make sure that we have advantage. But I think it's just like the natural evolution of really any game. Like, it's kind of like we got a new DLC for CEDH, and it was politics. Yeah. We're like, it really wasn't something that we were doing before, but then, you know, people started to realize that this is something that you can incorporate into your games to help you gain percentage points. And I think that it's very valid, because Magic has always been, you know, poker and chess together, and bluffing and kind of like being able to use your environment and use information against your opponents is part of like a poker strategy. And this is something that kind of derives from that side of Magic.
Even in 60 card Magic, the pen trick, LSV, picking up his pen as if he was going to take the damage and then surprise, no, he has an effect that blows out your attackers. Like, this has been a thing in Magic. That's kind of what politics can look like. Like, sometimes now we actually, I guess, should define what politics is when we mean like politics in CEDH, because
good point.
For those who know, we know what we're talking
about. Because it's way different than the real world. When you say politics in the real world, but what we mean by politics is like politics in like a fantasy realm.
Yeah.
Where, and like, you know, when you watch Star Wars and like it's all just people talking about like a place that doesn't exist, but it's all the diplomatic shit.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing. We're trying to be diplomatic within the game to make sure that our board, our kingdom that we're responsible for, can come out ahead of everyone else so that we can win the game.
Politics to me is anything. It's just chatter. It's talking. It's simple things. It's just an idea. It's putting a thought in someone's head. It's just, it's basically your communication style at the table. Yeah. That's really what we're talking about. I'm not even talking about making a deal. You don't attack me and I won't attack you. It's really kind of just everything. It's your chatter at the table, how you are at the table. Like there's things that we're going to talk about, like playing the hero, which is like a role that you can take where you can try to convince the table that you're the good guy, get them on your side. Like, it's not just like making deals, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it really just comes down to using your words in any way to gain advantage.
Yeah, and what you kind of said is interesting about like the beginning when we first got into CDH was like, it was very much like a machine. If I went for a win and you were next in turn order, it was your responsibility to counter the spell. There was nothing else you could do. Whereas like now there would be a lot more chatter if you have a counter spell. You don't want to blow it. You think this other player has drawn more cards. You think they're going to have, like, there are a lot more things that you can do. Don't go for your win right now. I'll show you the counter spell, put it in your hand, and I can save my counter spell for something else. Like, those things was almost what we were getting away from initially from casual going into CDH. Whereas now I feel like it's sort of come full circle because your chatter, it's what you can use to help you win the game.
Yeah.
And anything that helps you win the game, that's what I'm looking for from CDH. Anything that gives me advantage, as long as it's within the rules of the game, I'm not trying to be mean. I don't want to manipulate. That's not what we're doing. That's not what we're talking about.
Because that kind of stuff can get you kicked out of a tournament,
that
right?
You can get disqualified. Like that. Yeah. Being a dickhead, that's not what we're saying.
Yeah,
you know what
and to be fair, you should get kicked out of a tournament if you are conceived as a dickhead.
Right.
In the moment.
It is important that your table likes you, that for politics. From almost all of these strategies, it is important that you are well liked. That is just part of the strategy. That's the game.
Because if people don't like playing against you, they won't listen.
Target
no
you.
Matter
They're not gonna listen
if
to you.
Exactly. Even if you're right, they'll just go, fuck you, I don't care.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And also another thing that I want to like take into account when we're talking about this politics, the last thing before we actually get into the shit, is that I think it's important to think of CDH closer to like a race than it is a battle royale. I think a battle royale is what Commander is often looked at, is like we are all fighting against each other. We are trying to see who comes on top. It's not a who comes on top thing a lot of the times. Oftentimes it's a who's last standing or who's racing to get you there. And I think that little difference is going to help with the political aspect of things.
Yeah, I think the casual side of things is more of like the battle royale, but that's not really the vibe that you get in CEDH.
And in CDH, we're racing. This is a race. This is like a NASCAR race. We're going around the track to see who can get to the end first. That's kind of what the goal is when you're looking to politics.
It's so funny that sometimes the best thing that you can do in a race is make everyone slow down, like pop everyone's tires.
yeah. Or just go faster than
them. It's literally just like wacky races. If you ever saw that show before, it's just like everyone's got weird shit. We can do whatever we want in the middle of the race. But it is, you're right, it's whoever gets to the finish line first is the winner.
Exactly. It's not who has most points, it's who gets there first. Great. Should we go into some of our talking points?
Let's talk about the six different political moves that we've lost to.
Yeah, that's what it is. I've seen these moves used against me, and I go, oh, that's really smart. That was good.
All right, so you talked about one already that I think we should start off with, even though it's a little bit farther down in my list. It's called playing the hero.
Yeah.
So you mentioned this. This is when you convince your opponents to let you gain advantage under the pretense that you will help ensure another opponent's downfall.
I have a Rhystic Study. Someone's going for a win. I say, if you can cast any spells, give me a couple draws. Maybe I can find some interaction and stop them. This is something that you can say, even if you have interaction in your hand, you can say, if you give me a couple draws, I can find something to win here. Now, your opponent can have the responsibility to ask, do you have anything right now? Do you want to show me what you have? Can we? It's kind of your opponent's responsibility to understand. And what I'm telling you as the viewer, it's your responsibility that if you hear someone saying this, give me a couple draws so that I can help find an answer to this threat. Sometimes you will be forced to do that, but just keep an eye out that like this can be a strategy. This can be something that they are trying to do. They want you to give them cards with the hope that if you give them three cards, maybe one will be interaction, but maybe two will be a way for them to just win the game instead.
That's the thing, because if this plan succeeds, especially if they're like next in turn order, they get to capitalize off the fact that they just gained advantage that they normally would not have gotten unless they deployed this strategy here. And this can really be put into use, not just with like Rhystic and Mystic and Esper Sentinel, like all the good card draw advantage, but also cards with storm triggers, like Flusterstorm and Amphibian Downpour. Things that like you can say, hey, if you cast more spells, I can make more copies of my spell to make it more difficult for our opponent to be able to do anything in retaliation.
Yeah, and what this will often do is it'll get the spells out of player B's hands. So like, say player A is going for a loose win. Player B has the option to cast some spells, and player C has the Amphibian Downpour. player C can tell player B, hey, I had this amphibian down four. Get some stuff out of your hands. My amphibian down four will be big. We can stop player A from in their tracks, stop them from doing what they're doing. What this will do is allow you to cast some things to make the down four bigger, but then you have less things in your hand later on for when player C is trying to win the game after player A is now stopped because of the amphibian downpour.
Especially as you're like tapping mana to cast these spells, right, and they're just like sitting there rubbing their hands together.
Right. Now, like sometimes this will be what you have to do because you have gotten yourself into that situation. But it is something that you should be looking out for ahead of time so that you don't get stuck in a situation like that. Easier said than done. So like obviously don't lose the game, but if someone is saying this stuff to you, think to yourself, I don't have all the information. I don't know what's in their hand. Try to get something out of that. If you can get an information out of what they have, if you can get a deal out, I'm going to cast some more spells, but I need you to not go for a win afterwards. I don't want to get got and waste my spells and you don't have something. So like, if someone is trying to get you to help them stop another player, get something out of that player too, if you can.
Because they might also already have an answer in hand, and then they're just telling you to feed their Rhystic Study and just say, oh, hey, I need more things. I guess that's lying. I guess if they already have it, which is something that we are trying to avoid in general. I guess maybe that's like a distinction we should make too.
Yeah, and that's something that we should bring up about politicking, is because lying is an option. You're allowed to lie. The game doesn't say anywhere that you're not allowed to lie. There are certain situations where it's known information you can't lie, but you're allowed to say, I have nothing in my hand, and you have a forcible. You're allowed to do that. Now, if you do that, there is a thought that the table will know that you're a liar and they won't trust you in the future in this game or in future games.
Exactly.
It gives you a bad reputation, and I don't think it's a good long-term strategy.
It's not. It's very short-term games, and if you expect to not be a member of the CEDH community in the future, like long-term, you're not really going to be able to employ this ever and be able to like stick around in tournaments.
Yeah.
Really.
Now, what I've joked about is that the fact that lying is not socially acceptable is kind of exploitable, because I can demand from you, do you have a win condition? Can you win the game right now? And if you say yes and you have a win, I can say, he has a win. They have a win.
Yeah.
They're going to go for it. They said yes. So it's kind of exploitable. So it sort of makes it so that you have to be prepared for questions like this. Do you have a win? I don't know. It kind of depends.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you have to give an answer. And I know this is going to sound a little bit, some people are not going to like this. And I want to preface this that if this isn't your style of Magic, do not do this. Don't play CDH. I don't care. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Don't
play CDH in tournaments, maybe.
That is lame. And I understand that. But this is just, it's part of the game, and being able to give your opponent an answer that doesn't reveal too much information, that's bluffing. That's the poker aspect of Magic.
Yeah.
So if they ask, do you have a win? I'm not sure. It depends on what I draw. You know what I mean? There are answers that you can give that don't lie, that you're not saying, you know, no, I do not have a win.
Yeah.
But you don't have to say, no, I do not have a win. You don't have to reveal to them that information.
This actually bleeds perfectly into our next tactic, which is called phishing.
Yeah.
And phishing with a PH in particular, because it's like those phishing emails that you get where they're trying to just get a little bit of information out of you. And that's what this is. When you're asking a player to reveal information about their hand or their library or whatever in order to help you determine what your own play is. And I got two examples here real quick.
Yeah.
The one is, if you show me that you can't win the game here, I'll use my removal on our other opponent, right? And that's kind of something we were talking about, like asking to see your opponent's hand to make sure they can't win so that way, like, you're not just throwing the game by countering someone else's win condition or something like that. And then here's one that I know you love here. You are player B, and you say to player C, hey, I think we're about to lose to player A. Do you have any interaction for them? And then your player C says, nope. And then you just get to put a win on the stack instead.
Great. I will go for the win now instead. I think it's very important that if you're being asked that question, do you have any interaction for another player? It's important you think about how you answer that question. Sometimes it could be correct to say no. Sometimes it could be correct to say, it's not great interaction. I'm not sure. I have something. It's not great. Because you want both of your opponents to think you have something. You want them both to think that. You want your player A, who's fishing for that information, you want them to think that you have interaction, because they are not going to go for a win, and they know that it is helpful and likely to stop someone else. But you also don't want them to think that you have like definitive answer for the next player, because then they're not going to look for an answer. So you want to give them an answer that's something like, I have something. I don't know how good it's going to be, though. We do have to be ready for player A. That will allow player B to know, okay, player C does have something, so I can't push for a win, but it's not great. So I also have to be able to be defensive against player A still.
Yeah.
Those kind of answers is how you, I think you want to answer those questions. sessions. Yeah. Preface again, we don't win a lot of tournament CDH.
No.
This is how I lose games to CDH. I see this happening. And I'd say, Tyler, God damn it, you've tricked Nate into revealing that he has no counter magic again.
Yeah, that's the thing, because now fishing can be really good for you. Like, you can get a lot of information off of it, but it's a little dangerous. Whatever information you fish for, your other opponents could get access to that information too. And I feel like, I know I've lost to all these strategies too, but I feel like when other opponents fish is a spot where I've been able to capitalize a lot. And then I can use the information that my opponents have fished for so that I know what I have to play around, what kind of spells I need to do, or like what line I need to take to make sure that I can win instead of my opponents because they fished at the wrong time.
It's important, I think, to be aware when your opponents fish without you. When they're getting information, subtly remember that information. When information is revealed that someone has a silence because they revealed information, then you know that. You know they have a silence. Try to get them to use their silence later on. There was a game recently that blew up all over Reddit. People were kind of upset over a way that Ian won the game, and then there was a post that kind of explained how it was actually great. I watched the clip. It seemed like it was really great, but this kind of happened in a tournament game where comedian MTG, a great pilot who wins a lot of games, was able to kind of convince another player to put a silence on the stack that they knew they had so that he could win over top of that silence. And I thought that was a great move. It was super smart. He was being kind of very nice about it. He wasn't being mean and
nothing's
not being a
nefarious.
Jerk.
Nefarious. Yeah, nefarious.
Everything he had was on board, and it was a great move. And that's like, it was a clear example of like how having the skill of talking to your opponents is so helpful in CDH.
I call that the what else?
What else are you gonna
do? The what else? Yeah, convincing your opponents that the play that they do not want to make is their only option.
If they're humming and hawing, if they go, oh, I don't know if I should do this, what else are you gonna do?
What else are you gonna do? Yeah, your removal spell could be bad here, but if you don't do that, then they can do this, right? It's just, I like to use this to like try to predict the future of the game and go like, well, if this happens and this happens, like it's gonna be a snowball or a butterfly effect that's gonna really affect like how the rest of the game is gonna trickle down. And there's times where you can get your opponents, or you will end up using your removal in a spot where you don't want to, but the potential outcome of something can be so scary that right then and there is where you feel like you have to do it.
Yeah, when I had a job that was a little bit closer to corporate America, there was an expression we used called paint it done, which is how you would basically help your coworker visualize the end step of the end result of the project that you were working on. You
okay,
paint
yeah.
it done for them. And I feel like that's kind of what this is, like explaining to someone outright, here's what we should be afraid of, here's what's going to happen if you let this happen, you might as well use your interaction here.
Because where else are you going to use it?
Right,
if you let them draw, they could have more interaction.
Exactly, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's kind of like being able to culminate everything that you've gotten from the whole game and then use it at your opponents at the right time. Because they're talking about the interaction they have. So they're already in a bad spot. Take advantage of that.
Right. Now, and how to avoid stuff like this, if someone is using these politics against you, is to... I think it's best to just take a moment and take a step back and say, I'm sorry, guys, can we stop talking for a second?
Yeah.
You are always allowed to ask the table, can we stop talking for a second? I need a couple seconds to just think.
Yeah.
Don't make a decision based off of what your opponents say. You can listen to them, but you don't have to hear them. You don't have to do what they say. If they're smart players and they're suggesting something to you that feels like a smart play, understand, wait a minute, they're a smart player. They want to win the game. This play could be in their favor. Do I have any other options? If you have other options, think about what those options could be. If you have no other options and it's like death or give the player five cards, so be it. That's what you must do. But try to avoid doing that at all costs.
Here's a great opportunity for then you to fish. Because then this way, if they're trying to get you to do something, there's a reason they're trying to get you to do something.
Show me your hand. Do you have a win? If you have nothing, I'm more likely to give you the cards.
And then, right, then you'll see their hand and maybe you'll see either a win or their own interaction to be able to deal with it too. I feel like that's something else where that comes up, where you're able to get the interaction out so that way now the interaction you have can be saved as backup for your win con then too or something.
Don't give anything up for free, I think, is kind of what we're saying. If someone's trying to get free information out of you, get information out of them back. This information is a resource. Talking is a resource. It's just like mana. It's just like your life total. You have 40 life. You can necro for 39. You have a lot of breath in your lungs. You can talk a lot and try to get what you want going in a game.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Because what'll happen is you'll end up making deals with the demon.
Oh, a lot of the time. This is one that I want to avoid. I have gotten got by this. This is the demon next deals.
Yeah, this is making a deal with an opponent that sounds appealing to both players, but isn't really.
Right, yeah. This is like the trick. The demon gives you all the money in the world, except there's no stores, so you can't buy anything. Or something like that. Yeah. You know what I mean? So like an example of this is, if you allow my snap to resolve, I will bounce this other thing, get rid of this other player's threat, and I will untap my lands. And then you say, okay, if you promise to do that, bounce that other thing and untap your land, so be it.
Because I'm scared of that Seedborn Muse
right,
or something.
Right, and then they do that, they untap, they make infinite mana, they do something else, they do other actions, and then they bounce the Seedborn Muse and say, okay, I bounced the Seedborn Muse, I've done the deal that we said I would do, now that I have infinite mana that I made along the way there, I will win the game. Something similar to this happened to me in a tournament recently, and it was great, it was awesome. Like the guy, I wasn't clear on the deal. I should have said, you have to bounce the thing right now and take no other game actions. I should have been clear on my deal. I wasn't. I said, just bounce the thing. And he said, okay, make a billion mana, bounce the thing, then I win the game. I said, fuck, that was pretty smart. That was good.
Yeah.
The demon deal. So watch out for those. If someone is trying to make you a deal, take a second to think, what does this deal actually do? Can I get more specifics on this deal?
Yeah.
If we're going to make a deal and we're going to make this exchange, you need to lock it in. You have to have specifics. You will make no other game actions besides that. You won't go for a win right now. Like, in, you won't set up for infinite mana. Like, put clear restrictions and don't just say, I've done this before where I say, don't go for a win on your turn.
Yeah.
And they say, okay, I won't go for a win on my turn. I'll make infinite mana, pass a turn in your upkeep, make infinite mana again and win on your upkeep. So make sure that you're very clear with the deals that you're making.
Did you ever in like a computer class in school have your teacher like try to have you write out how to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and then she would like try to be the computer and like make the sandwich the way that a computer would do it, as if you coded it to do it this specific way, right? So like as a kid, you're like, okay, take the bread out of the bag, and then you take a knife and you just put peanut butter on the bread. So they do that literally. They just put, they don't open the peanut butter. They just take the full jar of peanut butter and put it on bread.
Yeah.
Like they take it so literally. And like that's how literal you have to be when you're making these deals. Because just like you said, you know, people are going to look for the little corners and like the little, I got you on this little thing. Because like they're trying to win. Your opponents do not have your best interest in mind.
Very important to remember throughout all of these deals, your opponents do not have your best interest in mind.
So the reality is that really any if this, then that statement is going to be a deal with the devil.
Right. Yeah, 100%. Another thing to look out for when you when someone's asking these deals, this is kind of what we think is a good way to avoid them. Be specific.
Exactly. All right, I got two more ideas that I want to talk about here. The first one is called Who Said That? AKA planting the seed.
Yeah.
This is a single sentence that's meant to lean your opponents into making plays advantageous for yourself.
An example of this that you used before is Jessica's will for six and then go six. So I six and you say, yeah, six is kind of an awkward number, right? And they go, yeah, sixes and seven, that's not a tally.
Sure. I don't need to enlighten tutor in response to this right now.
Right, yeah. And then they Jessica's will resolve and you say, okay, Simeon Spirit Guide, make seven, here's a tally. Very simple things, and it's not, you're not lying, you're not saying anything, you're just stating the obvious. Six is an awkward amount of mana, that's true, you know what I mean? But it allows your opponent to think that, like, you think that you're not casting a tally this turn. So it's important to remember, again, in this situation, your opponents, you don't know what's in their hand. So if they say six is an awkward number, you can say, are you casting a tally this turn? If they say, I don't know. If they say yes, if they say no, that can give you an option of, maybe I should just fucking spell pierce the Jessica's will or whatever the answer, like you said, enlightened tutor to get the card out of your hand so it's one less or something like that.
Whatever your option
all
is.
All of that shit could make a difference. So if someone's trying to give you information, get some more information. They're giving you information, but they have information that you don't have. So they're offering something up without you knowing what they're really offering, right? It's still like part of the demon deal in a way.
And these are also normally said at times when you're thinking of something.
Yeah.
That is when you should be keeping an eye out for this, is when you're thinking of something, because they're especially if it's the person casting the spell, they are trying to get you to let it go and to not interact with them and to make them seem like this is not going to be that big of a deal as you want it to be. But there's always a reason why they're doing something. Like, I'm not just casting Jessica's Will for six. I mean, I guess I could have had Hellkite Courser. Like, that also could have been funny. But that's still the time to look out for this. If you're thinking of something and someone is talking to you, they are trying to influence your decision in some way.
Like, we've said this over and over again, but just be aware. They're trying to influence me. Why are they trying to influence? Why would Cameron say six is an awkward amount of mana? Why would they downplay what they have right now? They would downplay it because what's coming after is better or something. You know what I mean? There would be a reason for them to downplay. They want their thing to resolve. Why would they? You know what I mean? Like, they want it to be what they want it as. They want it to be six mana. They think six mana would be good. Even though six mana isn't seven for Tali, they probably still have a way to get there. So be aware of
yeah,
like that.
I feel like a lot of downplaying kind of fits into this category too. This is like a kind of like a subsection where you're just like kind of trying to make it look like I'm playing Sisay cards. What does it look like? I got all these bad creatures.
This is Pippin. What are you going to counter? Pippin? That's no good. You know what I mean?
Like, there's a Risk Study over there. Why aren't you getting rid of that?
Right, yeah. So when people talk like that, normally there's a reason. It's because they got something.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone's playing a card in their deck because it's good.
Right.
They're not playing bad cards intentionally.
Truthfully, I wouldn't put these cards in Sisay if I didn't think they were good. I think they're good. They're a bad card on paper compared to other cards, but they're good. They're good with the strategy.
Exactly. Yeah. And I got one more for you here. This is called the Guilt Trip, which is normally followed by the Double Down.
The
Guilt
Double
Trip.
Down Guilt Trip. This one I see work a lot, and it makes me a little bit sad because this one I think is a little bit nasty. It's when someone counters something that you do, and in response you make them feel pretty bad about it, and then you continue to bring it up throughout the game. It's kind of like a weird manipulation tactic, and I think it's a little bit shitty because it kind of works a lot of the time. If you say, God, you shouldn't have mental misstep my crop rotation. It was just going to get a Gaia's Cradle. It was only going to make four mana. It was only going to get one activation of Thrasios. I can't believe you did this, and then over if you someone cast Demonic Consultation. Well, if you had that mental misstep, you could have done something about this. You double down. And if you double down on the guilt, what I think that it can do subconsciously is it can tell the person, if they're not prepared for it, that I made a shitty decision. I'm probably going to make more shitty decisions. And then it forces them to make bad calls after that. Yeah. And I think it's important that if someone's doubling down on saying that what you've done is a bad play, remember, they're saying it was a bad play for them. That's your goal.
Yeah, exactly.
You want it to be bad for that player, you don't want them to have a Gaia's Cradle. Like, you stand by your moves, or at a certain point, what I've done before is say, hey, look, I understand what you're doing. You don't agree with the play that I made. That's fine. We have to move on from it. You have to drop it. You have to tell them. And you're well within your rights to say that to someone. That's tricky. That's hard to do, to be confrontational about that in a polite way that's not nasty. That's hard because with all of this shit, it is important to be nice to your opponents. It's important. We're not saying any of these things are things that you should do meanfully, forcing your opponents. None of that's true, because if you're mean, you're going to be the enemy of three players, and three players are going to try to take you down, and they can probably do that. You have to be nice to your opponents.
And I've never seen the Double Down Guilt Trip work in a way where you're perceived as nice.
Right.
There are things that you can do where you can say, like, hey, I think it might have been more optimal to do something this way.
Yeah.
You're not guilt tripping them. It can come from a point of, especially, like, that's better for new players then too. So, like, I feel like you can kind of get people out of wanting to politic in CEDH, which is going to get people out of CEDH if this is something. This is kind of like, I don't want to say it's like the most toxic of the political moves that we have, but that's kind of what it is. Like,
it's a little bit.
It's a little bit more on like the toxic side, where like you're kind of attacking a player a little bit more, and none of these other moves are like attacking the intelligence of a player. Like, you're just kind of like bluffing, and you're using like mind games as opposed to like detrimental gaslighting, I guess.
Yeah, and I think it's important for the whole table and for judges to spot behavior like this. If someone is really kind of berating a player and insulting them for the plays that they made, it's a responsibility of everyone, I think, to step in and be like, dude, you have to relax. You have to back things up a little bit, right? That everyone has to be aware of that. That can happen. Games can get very heated. We're all very passionate about this game. We love the game that we're playing. We want to do the best at it. We want to find ways to win the game. But it's important that we remain civil and nice and polite to each other.
And there's a way you can do that too. There's another one that we don't have here, but that's just, I'm just going to call Deflecting Swat.
Yeah.
Which is when
that's
someone...
That's a little confusing because that's a card name.
That's why I like it so
okay,
much.
All right,
just because
sorry,
you can Deflecting Swat with your words instead of with the card itself.
Yeah.
Because what'll happen is someone will target your thing and you can politely make a case for something else to be optimal without saying, that was dumb, you're a stupid asshole and you shouldn't have done that.
Right, yeah. If you say, whoa, if you get rid of this other thing instead, I'll show you right now. I have two cards in my hand. They're not a win condition.
I have two lands that don't do anything.
Let's just not die to player B. And then they can go, okay, sure.
Okay, yeah. You know? Like, I don't care about your slight mana advantage because you just have more mana in your hand. It's not actually gaining you advantage. Like, if you can present a real reason, that's well within your rights. And that's why I'm going to call that one the Deflecting Swat.
Yeah.
You're literally casting Deflecting Swat without deflecting swatting because you're just using your words in a good, polite way. What will not get players to change their target is if you are a dick about how you say it, if you're vindictive about the words that you're using and about, you know, the intent, the malice behind your words and stuff like that. There is a finesse as how to deflecting spot like that.
And that's also kind of like the play the hero thing. Now we're friends. Yeah. Now we, you and I have worked together to stop this other player. It's advantageous for both of us, not just for me to convincing your thing to go somewhere else, but for you too, because now you can work with me later on.
I'm not a threat. You know I'm not a threat right now.
Right,
then.
which is kind of beneficial for both of those players. So I think doing like making, it sounds kind of strange, but like making alliances can be very helpful. Now, in part, they're helpful because your opponent is not aware of when you can break the alliance. You know what I mean? Yeah. You can decide, okay, now I'll win the game.
Well, and it's like the Hunger Games, right? Like you can alliance with everyone, but eventually everyone, like someone has to win.
And you have to be aware of that. When you're making an alliance with someone, say, okay, we are friends now. We'll work together right now. But I don't know how long this has lasted. I'm ready to betray you at any moment as well. You have to be prepared for that because I think that's where some of the feel bads can come from. Did we talk about this over there or here? Yeah, where the feel bads kind of come from if no one's prepared. For the politics.
Oh, no, we talked about that over there.
If you didn't know politics was part of the game, politics can kind of suck. Oh, fuck, I got tricked and I didn't realize we were tricking. I didn't realize we were doing that. That's when it can feel really bad. If you're aware that your opponents will be trying to trick you with words and stuff, I think it's really fun. With me, you, and Tyler and stuff, when we're all playing, we're all trying to trick each other all the time. That I think it's fun when we do it because we know how we're playing with each other.
At Locals the other night, you were in a pod with Tyler, and I was so jealous. You guys were like just laughing the whole time, just going, target Tyler. He's like, no, why?
It was such a crazy game. Tyler missed his first land drop for 3 turns in the game, and was able to convince the table to let him stick around for long enough to be in a situation where like he had exactly the right thing to get, but someone had fucking trick bind to like stop his Thassa's Oracle trigger, the one thing or something. It was such a wild game, but like I was like, this is why I tell everyone to kill Tyler right away.
Even when he's not perceived as a threat, he's always threatening.
I know,
yeah.
And I feel like that kind of frustrates him sometimes, and I do feel bad about that, but it's literally the only way I have to beat him.
That really is, because I think that's something that goes for good players like Tyler. Like if you're known for doing well at events, I think more people are likely to listen to what you have to say because they'll go, oh, well, they're a good player, so what they're saying is probably right.
You have to keep in mind, they're a good player. They're trying to win the game.
This is a part of how they're a good player is because they're able to use their words to get you to do something.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I'm a worse player than all of them. And I've fallen for stuff that they've all done to me, too.
I've lost to all of these players. Exactly. Things like pointing out where the threat is also that's scary. You know what I mean? Pointing out, reminding the table.
Who said that?
Yeah, that's who said that. When Ristic City comes down, Ristic City's scary. That's also part of who says that.
Yeah.
You can say 6 mana is an awkward amount of mana, but you can also say, oh, Smothering Tide, that's a really good card.
Hey, Bloom Tender is a combo piece.
Yeah, reminding the table that, oh, insist say Bloom Tender is a combo piece. We got extra Bowmaster damage, that's where it should go. Putting the idea in people's heads, painting it done, that's all kind of part of it. These are all similar aspects of a same strategy.
But I am really glad that these are things that are coming into CEDH a little bit more, because like I said, it is kind of like bonus content that's being added to the game that like we didn't have before, and it gives you like this extra access to be able to play on and like an extra skill to get better at. Like if you're a little bit more introverted, like I think this is one of the combats that I've seen to this argument is that, well, you know, not everyone's as extroverted as content creators who can talk in front of a camera and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's true. And we still lose a lot though. Keep that
in
mind.
We still lose a lot. Yeah. I never said I was good. I think that doesn't mean that this is not an opportunity for you to get better at things that you might not be good at.
Like I'm not very smart with numbers, and yet I still have to try with magic, and people who are good at magic are smart with numbers.
Honestly, part of the reason why I don't play sports is because I can't like get better at sports. Like as I age, I will always get worse at sports the older that I get. So I don't like watching sports because it will make me want to play sports. That's how I am with every game that I watch. But with Magic, like that's something that I feel like my brain, as long as I don't get lobotomized, I feel like is always going to be something that I'll have access to. And what I'm saying with the sports thing is that if I can't get better at something, for me, there's no point in doing it.
Right. Yeah.
Like, so part of Magic then is I want to always get better at it.
And that includes politicking.
That includes politicking. So having something else I can get better at, which is like just having me be better at being eloquent. Because the better I am at politicking, the better I am at being on the podcast, because I don't have to edit so much, because I can just say full sentences without like repeating myself or being like a stuttering guy or something.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with stuttering.
No, there's nothing wrong with stuttering. I stammer and stutter all the time. Okay, I kind of went like
dude,
off
I'm
the rails.
I'm fucking sweating. It's so hot up here with their air conditioning.
It really is.
Any final, can we cut it? Is that it?
That was my final thought, is that I kind of like that politics is here, and I think it's just here to stay.
Yeah, I think so too. My final thought is, if you're going to implement any of these strategies, you got to be nice. You got to be nice to your opponents. You got to be nice to your people. This is the best way to win games of Magic, I think, is to be nice to your opponents and just try to convince them to make plays that are good for you.
Exactly. Politics in CEDH is here to stay. And I think that overall, this can be a really good thing for the game, so long as we're all doing our duty, using our words for good as opposed to evil, which will get even more relevant as Spider-Man comes up.
We're all wizards anyway. It's how you cast your spell. If you say abracadabra the wrong way, it's not going to fire right. You got to say
honestly,
it right.
You know, the other thing that the other thing that I wanted to say real quick is that the other thing I like about it is that it kind of is more immersive in like the whole I'm a wizard thing, and like it just kind of brings you into the setting of we're actually in a battle.
I'm gonna Jedi mind trick you. Yeah,
yeah. I don't know. It's more immersive that you can communicate with your opponents.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think that makes that kind of makes the game. It's brought a whole new element to it that I'm still fucking figuring out.
Me too.
Thank you so much for watching. If you like to support us directly, you can do so on Patreon, like our $100 patrons. Should we say them together?
Let's do it. Yeah.
3, 2, 1. Damn Nandez, cumulative upkeep, Mr.
MTG.
You have to say the MTG. Okay.
Why not? Yeah, it's there. Yeah.
Damn Nandez, cumulative upkeep, MTG, Mr. Jerby, the Cardboard Cookbook, Penguin Man, 089, Eli the Magic Guy, David Newman, Pat Fires, Spangler, Demetrius Clark, Larceny Roars, Your Boy Blue, period, Spark B.
Damn it, yeah, you're right. Insomnia, SC Phillip, Old and Grumpy, Dash Grumpy,
Zach Hartley, Re3, Active 3, Sean in the Ice, Scare Bear, Dash Garrett,
yeah.
Mace the Ace, Luke Cook, Connor Sipon, Joshua Day, Peter Stewart, Carnell Wild, Uncle Butts, Khwaja A. Hamid, Scott Hawk, and Baby Jeebus. If you want to pick up any of our merch, you can do that at playtowinmtg.com.
Thank you, Dragon Shield, for supporting the show. Use code PLAYTOWIN5 at our affiliate link down below for 5% off.
Follow us on social media for more content.
Thank you for watching.
See you next time.
Let's get that fucking air conditioner on. Oh my God. Z-Trep, Hunter the Warlock, John Koba, the Gaming King Kajow. Are you going to scroll for me, though? Thank you. Dan Hart, the Man Hart, Sarcastic, Roy Turner, Bill Bob, Mystic Muffin Man, Zachary Coulson, Jabaha, Mace the Ace, Dalton Poteet, Justin Man Solo, Jan Wildfang, Thomas Bueno, and David Nelson.
That'll do, Donkey. That'll do.
That was a good Mike Myers.
Thanks, yeah.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.